Tonight, gonna be a little bit different than what I did last night, and that it's gonna be in the form of a stern warning tonight, and much of the Bible is in the form of warnings and stern reminders. So to take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 24, and I want to show you scripture that everybody in here is very familiar with. Maybe use it in a way that maybe you've not heard before. Matthew chapter number 24. And this is a chapter about the signs of the times and the last days and all the things that's going to be happening mostly during the Great Tribulation after the Lord come back in the rapture. And he's going back here in the days of Noah in verse 37. And he said, remember them days of Noah, because it's going to be like the days of the coming Son of Man. And then in verse 38, he said, in the days of Noah, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Now, what's wrong with any of them things? Nothing. There's nothing wrong with eating and drinking, or marrying and giving in marriage. As long as you're eating and drinking the right thing, marrying the right person, or being given to the right person. But what he was saying there was there's so much excess and abuse of those things that it just got to be ridiculous. All people did. And he said, until the day that Noah entered the ark, these people were oblivious to what God was getting ready to do. Had no clue, as the kids say, what God was getting ready to do. Verse 39, and they knew not, look at them two little words, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also come to the Son of Man be. So I said, these people out here, they was eating, they was going out to eat, they was drinking, they was getting married, they was raising families, they had built the whole time that ark was being built. Ain't you going to get an ark? No, man, we're eating and drinking and marrying and building houses, getting a job and going to college and raising a family and seeing the grandkids and all that. And the Bible said they didn't even realize till that flood hit and washed them all away. They messed up, didn't they? They made a mistake. That's what I want to preach about tonight. The title of the sermon tonight is The Biggest Mistake That You Can Make. The biggest mistake that you can make. We all make mistakes. All of us have made plenty of them. I've made my share. If you've made yours, let's hear a big amen.
Amen.
We've all made mistakes. Mistakes always carry consequences. Right. Even those that we don't even mean to make sometimes. Even little ones have small consequences. I borrowed this guy's truck one day. And I was going to haul some stuff or something. Went down to Sam's Club. And, you pull into some of those parking places. And why in the world they do this, I don't know. But they concrete a little yellow post down in the ground. And, when you're sitting in a truck, you can't see that little thing sticking up that high. I just plowed right over that thing. And toward the front of his truck. That was a mistake. It cost me, too. I think it cost me about $200 to get that, his brush guard that I've been in fixed on the front of that truck. We all make mistakes. Even if you take a buggy bang into somebody's car, just a little mistake like that. Littler mistakes. Excuse me, ma'am. I didn't mean to get in front of you. Excuse me, ma'am. I didn't mean to step on your kid's head. excuse me, ma'am. I didn't mean. I mean, just little mistakes that happen in everyday life. And sometimes a little apology can fix a little small mistake like that, right? I mean, you just bump into somebody or maybe you, and sometimes you just say, I'm sorry, and that'll take care of it. Other mistakes carry higher penalties and worse payments. I mean, a car accident. You can wreck a car and pay for it the rest of your life. Just one mistake, texting while driving, overcorrect on the highway, just like that right there. And have a maybe sit in a wheelchair the rest of your life. And sometimes others make mistakes, and it even benefits us. Most of them don't, but sometimes it does. They said this newspaper years and years ago put out an advertisement. You can get a year's prescription for, I'm thinking it's something like $10, something like that. And the printer made a mistake and put $1. And they advertised you could get a year's prescription for $1. And like 37,000 people applied for it and got it. And the newspaper had to honor that, even though it was a mistake, it was printed in their offer and had to honor it. And they went and hold, I don't know how many thousands and thousands of dollars. A mistake can cost you just like that. Just a little type error can cost thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. I heard about this boy who one day received a brand new TV by a UPS truck or Federal Express, delivered a new TV to his house. And he said, okay, I didn't order this. He said, well, it's got your name and address on it, and brought it to him. The next couple of days, a new computer came to his home. And then some other stuff. He started getting iPads and things like that. $5,000 worth of stuff from Amazon.com was delivered to him. He hadn't ordered nothing. It was all a mistake, and his name was, somebody got his name wrong, or name, and it was sent to him by mistake. He called them, trying to do the right thing, and said, hey, you people have made a mistake here. And they honored him being honest and let him keep it. He got to keep all of that stuff. So in that situation, that mistake of theirs benefited him. But by far, mistakes usually harm those that commit them and the people that are affected by them. When you think about that $1 billion trip to the moon that our country made back in the late 60s, and bragging up, oh, we was going to get to the moon, and we was going to get to the moon, and we was going to beat Russia to the moon. And did you know, back in the late 1960s, $1 billion, a lot of money. And they spent $1 billion of our tax money, and they might as well have just threw it in the trash can. That was a mistake. You say, no, we found out. We didn't find out nothing we didn't already know. I mean, God told us he made that lesser light to rule the night. There ain't nothing on the moon. There ain't nobody lives there. There ain't no people out there. The Bible said the heaven is the Lord's, and the earth has he given to the children of men. There ain't no people lives in outer space. There might be some demonic creatures up there moving around, zipping around, but you don't want to. I mean, what are you going to breathe if you live up there? We're going to build cities on them. Where are you going to breathe? Ain't no air. There's no atmosphere up past that. So it was a mistake. You say it was great scientific research. Well, you tell that when you're preaching. I say it was the biggest waste of money. They could have helped thousands of poor people with that $1 billion. Amen? That's a more common sense approach. But it was, no doubt, a mistake. There's lots of famous mistakes in the Bible. It was a mistake when old Goliath went out there that day and probably had a helmet and set that thing down and laughed at little David. You ain't send me somebody. Is that the best you can do? And little David sitting over here, I mean, with his little sling, and him getting ready to look like that right there. Big old Goliath, up there, man. His head about touched that on top of that lights right there. That boy looked down, ha ha ha. Mistake. Amen. Big mistake, son. He knocked his brains out and cut his head off. And brother, he underestimated the little boy David. It was a mistake, brother, when Pharaoh kept not letting the children of Israel go. Big mistake. Big mistake. He said, no, ain't going to let them go. Here are the flies. Get rid of the flies. Got rid of the flies. No, ain't going to let them go. Give me the frogs. He said, get rid of the frogs. I'll let them go. Ain't going to let them go. Big mistake. Moses came in there and he said, I ain't going to see you no more, bud. He said, this is it. Your son's going to die. and Pharaoh burying his son and taking his chariots into the Red Sea realized he had made a big mistake. Hey, you young people, listen to me tonight. All you teenagers, listen to me tonight. There's a lot of young people that y'all's age in juvenile centers are on their way to prison. Some of them are already there because they made a mistake. You better be careful with your life. You can make a mistake that you'll pay for the rest of your life. And you can make a mistake, the biggest one that you can possibly make. I remember reading about Daniel in the lion's den. It was a mistake for them to put him in there. It was a mistake when Lot's wife turned around and looked back at Sodom. And it cost her her life when she turned and looked back at Sodom. Big mistake. It was a mistake for Pilate trying to wash the Lord Jesus Christ off his hand and say, you people deal with it. Excuse me, I'll have no part in the life of this man. Mistake. I remember hearing about and seeing. I'll never forget the Challenger in 1986. That little spaceship that they sent out. Some of you remember that. I remember where I was at. I was in a church office when that happened. And the Challenger space shuttle, they shot that thing up from Florida. And I think that's when those seven people, that girl astronaut, it was a school teacher. And everybody was so excited. And the whole country was watching. And I mean, there was thousands of people there, saw it in person. Every TV channel in the nation was watching that thing go up. It cost $5.5 billion. In today's economy, would be $12 billion. A billion is 1,000 million. $1,000 million is a billion. It would have cost $12 billion today. 72 seconds after it took off on from the state of Florida, you could see it, you could still see it, the cameras were on it. It was going out in the sky like that, and boy, that thing was going in there, and a weak sealant of a joint blew, come loose, something got into that fuel, and that thing blew into 1,000,000 pieces. It exploded on live TV. Those astronauts never even knew what happened. They were scattered all over the ocean, down there in the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Florida. And somebody, somewhere, a technician made a mistake. And it cost billions of dollars and American lives. You know what? That was a costly mistake. Back in 1912, the Titanic sailed on its maiden voyage. The Titanic, everybody knows that story. $7.5 million then, over $200 million today of what the Titanic would be worth. And you know what they said? They said it's an unsinkable ship. They said this thing got so much steel in it, it's got those compartments underneath it, those air pockets. Even if something did happen, the air pockets would keep it afloat. They said it's an unsinkable ship. And one man stood up before it left and he said, even God couldn't sink this ship. And the Lord said, mistake. That's a mistake. That's a mistake, people. A very costly one. 1,500 people died. When it hit the sharp edge of that iceberg, they said that thing was so heavy, that iceberg hit it at the right angle, and it's like a can opener, got into a can, and just run it back like that. And that gas come in there, and that water coming poured into there, and that thing went to the bottom. Steel sitting there. There was an elderly lady in England who played the lottery every week. And every week she'd write down the number, Brother Scott, and she'd keep them down. And lo and behold, she won, got the winning number, $181 million, and went to get it. She's going to collect it, and her husband had thrown the ticket away.
He said, she ain't going to win this. These things are all over the house. Put it up, put the trash can, it went to the dump, and she had the winning number. $181 million. Mistake. That's a mistake, brother. That's grounds for murder. I'm telling you, brother, that's a mistake. How'd you feel? There's a band years ago. Photographer come. He was going to take pictures of the band, like a high school band. They paid him money. He got them all, took them forever. And it took forever to get them all situated. You know, you put the little ones in the front, and then the little bit taller ones behind them, and the real tall ones behind them. And then you take one and everybody ain't looking. And you take one and somebody's looking up this way. Somebody ain't grinning. And you finally get everybody right. And he took some pictures, and they said, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow with your pictures. And next day comes, he had forgot to put the film in the camera. No pictures. I'm just telling you these stories tonight to help you to realize you can make a mistake, kids. You can make a mistake. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how smart you are, how educated you are, how much you think you've got it all figured out. You can make some costly mistakes tonight. December the 7th, 1941. 7:50 in the morning, we had the attack on Pearl Harbor. At that time, the worst attack on American soil in history. But I read, preacher, there were 353 Japanese planes for the Army, Navy, and the Air Force stations. We lost 8 battleships, 6 airfields, many planes, and 2,400 men. But what they don't want to tell you, and is embarrassing for the Army, is that at 7 a.m. that day, those Japanese planes were spotted. They were 137 miles away, and a radar station picked them up, and 2 soldiers saw those dots on radar and said, there's 137 planes out there. Come in here, and one of them notified a lieutenant. It was on a Sunday morning, and nobody wanted to pay much attention to it. Everybody wanted a day off, and the lieutenant thought there was our planes just out on normal drill, and he made that famous quote, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. There would have been time to secure our ships and shelter our men. But the lieutenant made a mistake. And he said, don't worry about it. How many times have people come and sit at church, just a little revival meeting, just like we're having here tonight, Tuesday night in March. No famous singing groups here. No great well-known preacher here. Here on this cool Tuesday evening, how many times have people sat in a church service just like this? And yet the devil says, preacher, give him anything. No, I don't worry about it. You don't need to go tonight. That was a mistake. Amen. That was a mistake. There's somebody here tonight needs to get right with God. There's somebody here tonight needs to get saved. There's somebody here tonight, I don't know who you are, but I guarantee you, and the devil's telling you, you don't need to tonight. You can do it any time. Keep on doing what you're doing. You got sin this weekend, remember? You got it all planned out. You're going to a party. You're going where? You're going here. You're going there. Anytime you've heard me tell the story, young lady, you've heard me tell this. It's on my heart. Maybe this is for somebody here tonight. We had a youth camp 1 year. And we had probably 200 or 300 kids at camp. It's been a long time ago. And
I was running around there the first day trying to get everybody in their cabins and trying to get everybody settled down, trying to get everybody, make sure everybody's happy. And are y'all okay? Are y'all okay? And all. And there's a great big old tree right here. And this girl is standing up against this tree that's like this. Like she's miserable. And I walked by and said, "Are you all right, ma'am?" She said, "No, I hate this place." And I said, "Well, I'm Brother Danny. I'm a preacher. What's your name?" She said, "I'm Karen." She's 17 years old, Mobile, Alabama. Pretty young lady, blonde haired girl. She's laying up against that tree. And she said, "I hate this place. I wear these stupid these clothes like y'all make us wear. And all this is ridiculous." And her mother had made her come to camp. Her boyfriend wouldn't come. And she come up from a group that came from down in Pensacola and rode them, that picture from Mobile, and rode up here with them. And I said, "Look, sister." She wasn't a sister, she wasn't saved. And I said, "Karen, you're going to be here on Friday anyway. You might as well just try to make some friends. Try to enjoy it and have some fun." She just rolled her eyes. Stuck here in this stupid place. You know what? I said, "I'm going to be praying for you. Tuesday night, we had a good service Monday night. On Tuesday night, God moved in. I mean, the power of the Holy Ghost come in there, and it got so foggy and thick, people was getting right. Someone come over here and all bam. Somebody come over here and all bam. Hitting all the right and left. About that time, I saw that girl come down the aisle. She was doing like this, holding her face, just falling like that right there. And just, bam. We had outside, and a little, it was benches going up a bank. And she just slid down the grass. There was a lake was right here behind where I was preaching. And buddy, she slid down in that grass, and people prayed with her. And I shook her hand. I said, "Karen, did you get saved tonight?" She said, "Yes, yes, I got saved." I said, "Amen, hallelujah, thank God, this girl got saved." And I was telling everybody their story, you know, and everything. Well, Friday night come. Back then, you know, there was no way you didn't have cell phones. I mean, there was no way to. We couldn't stay in touch with everybody like people do now. Good old days. And brother, I mean, you didn't know what happened when you got home. You got that. Until you got to a phone somewhere, a pay phone or something. And buddy, I'll tell you something. That camp was over on that Friday night. They left early that morning, got home to Mobile on Friday night. They met her. They said, "We have bad news. Your boyfriend, your other best friend, and the girl that was with that she would have been with, were all in a car wreck last night. They were all killed." She said, "If she hadn't have come to camp, she would have been with them and in hell." And she got saved by the grace of God. Her mother, listen, she would have made the mistake that a worse one a person can make. She'd have lost her soul, people, and you don't get that back.
Amen.
And she got in. Missed hell by 4 days. There are people in hell tonight screaming, "God, let me out of here. God, please." That they thought they had another chance or another Sunday or another week to wait. It's a mistake, buddy. It's a mistake, buddy. Four boys in college. Three of them were Christians. They were training for the Olympics. Olympic swimmers. Divers and swimmers. And three of them witnessed to the other one all the time. And they kept saying, "Man, the cross. The cross of Jesus." He said, "Man, I'm not religious. I don't know." They said, "It's not religion. It's the cross. It's what Christ did on the cross. It's what Jesus did on the cross." You know, that's the hardest thing in the world to get people to see. That is Jesus' death on the cross. There ain't nothing good about it. I don't even consider myself a religious person. I talked to a guy the other day, Saturday, when we was out visiting bus route. I knocked on the door. He came to the door. And he said, "I'm not much into religion." I said, "I'm not either. I'm not a religious person. I'm a sinner saved by Jesus' blood and what Christ did for me on the cross." That's a lot different from religion. Amen? Religion can take you to hell, brother. But the blood of Jesus can save you and take you to heaven. Amen? I'm going to gonna tell you, brother, they said the cross, friend. The cross! The cross! And they all went home for the holidays, for Christmas. And when they came back, they'd been gone about a week and a half. He said while he was gone, all he could think of was the cross. The cross. The cross. The cross, and it bothered him. When he come back to school, his friends hadn't got there yet. He settled in, got his stuff all put back. And he said, you know what? I'm going to go in there, down the pool, and practice my dive a little bit. Take a swim before I go to bed tonight. He slipped down there, opened that big old door like a gymnasium. Big old gigantic building with that Olympic-sized pool in there, a big high ceiling, and it had glass. You know how those big places like that, they'll have a wall up about halfway, and then glass the rest of the way up, where you like see all the way around, the sun will shine in, or the moon, or stars, or whatever was out there. And he just barely could see out there that in there that night. And he said he went in there. He said he went like that, and he walked in. He's the only person in there. Climbed those ladder and got up there on that diving board, 19 feet above the pool. And his eyes didn't see him. And he got on there like that, and he put his toes on the end of that thing, and was getting ready to just jump straight up and then hit it again, about a 3.5 flip into that pool. And he said, right when he was doing like this right here, the light had shined in that building, and you could see a cross, perfect cross on that wall over there. Brother Scott, he said he looked at that cross. The Spirit of God smote him in the heart. And he looked at that cross, he said, the Lord died on that thing for me. The Lord died on that thing for me. That old boy backed up, got down on his knees on that diving board and said, dear Jesus, will you come into my heart and save me? And he got saved right there. And he was crying and thanking the Lord for saving him. And about that time he heard something. Somebody had heard him crying. And the janitor come in the door. He heard that door open. He said, who's in here? And he said, it's me. Told his name, said, I'm up here on a diving board. He said, I just got saved. He said, I asked Jesus to save me, and now I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven. And the janitor said, well, you better be glad you did. They flipped that light on, and the pool was dry. They had drained it because they'd been doing some painting, tight work on the tile. And he'd come that close to busting his brains out, going to hell. That would have been the biggest mistake he ever made. I believe tonight that there's been young men left church made the biggest mistake a person can make. Never got another chance. Matter of fact, I remember hearing the prodigal preacher preach the revival just like I am tonight. He said they're sitting in the back that night, a young man and a young lady. He said that young man had been to church, and he said during the invitation, he felt a strong urge to go back there and speak to him. You know, preachers used to do that a lot, and sometimes still do. I mean, you have to be careful about stuff like that, but he said he felt a strong pull of the Holy Spirit. So he said he walked back there while everybody was singing. He said, y'all keep singing. Everybody kept singing, kept singing, kept singing, kept singing. And he walked back there and he said, son, he said, I sure wish you'd get saved. He said, will you get saved? He said, that boy looked at him. He said, listen. He said, I'm here for her. He said, when we leave here, I'm taking her to a dance. He said, I ain't interested in what you got to say. I ain't interested in what you, I don't want no God, no Bible, no church. He got really mad. The preacher said, okay. Okay. I'll leave you alone. So he walked there like that. He said, we dismissed that service that night, a little country church, had a little porch light out there like those little country churches do. Cars going up and down the highway. That boy was mad. He said, I'm going in. Walked out the door, the first one out, walked out there, and there's a drunk come flying down the highway, lost control of his car, come across that parking lot. I know that boy. That's a mistake you can never correct. Get it out. You don't ever get it out. You may sit here tonight and think you're all cool and you got it all figured out and you're smarter than everybody else and you got this thing, I'm going to see a little bit more, and as soon as I get that money or I get that divorce and I'm going to leave with that man, or I'm going to, you done got it all planned out. It's a mistake.
You're going to make a mistake, you ain't going to be able to pay for it these days. You don't get it right with God. I feel like somebody here tonight. I ain't trying to be a prophet, but if you don't get right tonight, you may be making a mistake that you will never be able to correct.